morning. Lord, we thank you so much for just breathing your life into us, Lord, and giving us new life in you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. We thank you for our body here, Lord, the people that you've put in our life to worship you together with in just a unique and special way. We pray that all of us would stir up our gift and be part of the body and the way in which you've called us to, Lord. We pray that our church would just be simply something that's honoring to you, that we wouldn't have our agenda, but you would have your agenda, Lord. It wouldn't be our will, but it'd be your will. And we surrender our church fellowship to you and just ask that you would be the senior pastor here and that we would follow your steps, Lord, and that no flesh would glory in your presence, that this wouldn't be a human work, but it would be a heavenly work, Lord. And we pray that we would be a light shining on a hill, that we would have an impact for your kingdom on our community, and that each one of us would just see our role in how you want to use us. And we, as Isaiah said, Lord, that we would offer ourselves to you and say, here we are, Lord, send us. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and take them out and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Been looking at faith and looking at all the examples of faith, what faith is, how it works, getting practical examples. And so now it's like the writer of the book of Hebrews is, he's pouring all his energy into the crescendo of what he's talking about. This is the greatest pep talk known to man, this chapter, and really the book of Hebrews. And that's what it is. It's a pep talk in encouraging believers in Christ to keep going on in faith, to keep moving forward, to keep progressing, to watch the tendency to shrink back or to go back. And he points out, and we all know there's obstacles to that, right? There's challenges. What we find in Scripture from beginning to end is really that it's going to be a battle. The Bible says, don't think it's strange when you go through these various trials. That's one thing we know for sure. It's going to be a battle, especially as a child of God, if you say that you're going to live your life by faith. Living your life by faith, then, is a different grid in which we see our life. It's a different way we live life. It's a different approach to life. And basically, when we live by faith, we're saying, Lord, you lead, you guide, your will be done. Now, here's the thing, before we get into the scriptures this morning, here's the thing. Sometimes you get in situations and you get put in places, and then you say, well, I have faith, but I don't know what to have faith in now. So what am I supposed to have faith in? You ever had that issue, like you don't know how to pray? Like, how should I pray in this situation? What should I be praying for? And the most important thing, and we see this as we go through the scriptures, is not necessarily having faith even in our faith, or faith in a particular outcome. It's faith in a person. That's what faith all comes down to. And I think that's another little nuance of how we get sidetracked. Because we have faith that's conditional. The Bible tells us we're to have unconditional love, right? We hear about that a lot. That's agape, unconditional. Well, faith's like that. We're not to have conditions on faith. We're just to have faith, and our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. When we have that, now we can face the world with whatever it has. And so the writer of the Hebrews now, he speaks about that, and he talks about everything that has ever been noteworthy from a person of God. It's always been done by faith. He gives the example, and he goes from the very beginning, and he works his way up to what we're going to look at this morning, if you'll notice, in verse 32. So he says, and what more shall I say? He says, you need more? I've started all the way back in the very beginning. I've worked my way through the patriarchs. You've seen now up to Moses. It's always been by faith. But here's the issue now. It is our faith which makes us victors. It's our faith in which we will overcome. So it's always going to be faith that secures our victory. In other words, faith is what's going to make us succeed. So we find in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So hopefully out of this whole chapter, we can take this one word and apply it to every situation. And we say, this is how I take the next step. This is how I'm going to be successful. This is how I'm going to stay on track. This is how I'm going to move forward. I do it taking a step of faith each and every step. So watch what happens. So now he taught there are certain things, particular things to us that we're going to need faith in because there are particular things that we're going to have to confront and come across if we're not going to survive, but we're going to thrive. One, we talked about last week, is strongholds. These things that get a hold of our heart, our life, these things that preoccupy us, our barriers from the fullness of God working in our life, those are strongholds. So we looked at that. Basically, God's given us His power to say no to anything that is not of Him. Any vice, any habit, any addiction, these things where God wants to conquer all the territory of our heart. So we saw that. So now we find that we're going to have to deal with some other issues too. We're going to have to deal, and we're going to see this morning, we're going to have to deal with weakness and fear. We're going to have to deal with hardship. And we're going to have to deal with disappointment. So the Bible's full of promises, and we're promised we're going to have those too. So how do we deal with that? So he says, what more do you need? He says, what more shall I say? Can you do it? Can we do it? Are we doing it? Do you need more, he's saying? Do you need more? Do you need more? He said, time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And he's saying, do you need more? He's saying, come on, guys. And you think about it. You think, okay, what is our fear today? What is that is sort of holding us back? What is the devil sort of throwing into our life that makes us afraid to take another step of faith that's kept us bottled up? Fear is like, think about how many things that you and I haven't done just because we're afraid, or it's easier not to do it. I think about that in my own life. It's just easier not to do things that we're afraid of, isn't it? And yet God, He's not like that. God says, go for it. And then he's saying all these guys, and you know, sometimes we can read about those guys and think, they're like superheroes. You know, they're like super guys. Well, if you think that, you haven't read the Bible very much. These are not super guys. The list of people here are ones that have glaring flaws, glaring inadequacies and insufficiencies. A lot of them have blown it terribly. And they're recorded in the Bible as for us to look at their faith, he's saying. He's not saying, look at their flaws. He's saying, look at their faith. Isn't that how God looks at us? He doesn't sit there with a microscope on our weaknesses. He sits there with a magnifying glass on who He is inside of us. And He's telling us, don't look at them. Look at what God did through them. That's what He's saying. He's saying, look at what God has done through these guys. You remember Gideon? He was afraid. He was hesitant. He didn't want to deal with the Midianites. Samson, it goes down the list. These are people like us. And the torch has been passed to us. And he's saying they were weak and afraid too. But notice in verse 33 what he says. He says they didn't do it based on their supermanness. They did it through faith. So that should say, hey, for us, that should say, well, I can do that too. When I read about Gideon and how shaky he was and how many confirmations he needed, I find myself like that. Are you sure, Lord? Really, Lord? Can you just do one more thing and show me? I don't know. Is this really you? I know you've told me for years, but is it really you? I'm not sure. We're like that. Until he got to a point where he, by faith, did something. And then on down the list. So what did these weak and feeble and fearful people do? Well, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. So is that just stuff God does in the Bible? Does that not apply now? Some would say yes, but the Bible says no. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And do we need to see God move in our generation and in our communities? Do we need that? Did just them? Was that just for them? Well, it's written in the book of Hebrews is because we need that. And we read about these great exploits of faith through weak and fearful men. And it was their inability that became their ability because their faith connected them to the one who had no limits on ability. And so they came to God, and many didn't even really have much faith. And so it wasn't even the strength and the power of their faith. And it wasn't the faith that they said that they were having faith in the way that they wanted the outcome. They had a faith in the living God, knowing that through Him nothing would be impossible. As they stepped out in faith, I picture them sort of, you know, those toe-in-the-water people. Like, okay, you told me to do this, and Lord, we had 30,000, and now we have 300, and we're fighting this great army, and I'm going to try it, and it's like sticking your toe in the water, and okay, what happens? Am I going to die? Am I going to blow up? And they would begin to see God act. They would see God's promises. They would see the hand of God move. And I think it's important that you and I don't contextualize this so much to just this time, but we would say, hey, that's me too. That's what God wants from me in my little sphere of influence, whatever that may be. And we all have one, don't we? And God says, there is your place of great faith. Right there, right where you are, right where God has you, that's where He wants to do great exploits of faith in you and through you. So, if we're going to overcome weakness and fear, it's going to be by one thing. What is that? Yep. Some of you got it. It's going to be by faith. That's just one word, isn't it? Well, by faith is two words, but faith is one word. It's just going to be faith. If we can anchor that in our heads, if we can write that on our hearts, it's going to be faith. When we are weak, He is strong. So what does faith say then? What's the application? Well, we've sort of spoke about that, but think about this. In regards to fear and weakness, the reason faith works is because faith says it's not up to us. That's what faith says. Faith says it's not going to be about me and what I do, it's going to be about Him and what He does. We see that all throughout the Bible. And the Bible is, I love how the Bible is real honest about our heroes. It doesn't paint an inaccurate picture. Their faith was all a testament of the goodness of God. The second thing is faith says that He is strong. And that means we don't have to be. Can I show you something for a quick second? If you guys will turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 12, sorry. Watch what happens. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Turn back with me. Our strength then, individually and corporately, is found in our unity in Christ. So we are one in Christ, filled with the Spirit in Christ, and then we come together as a body of Christ, united about that one thing, that one purpose, the glorification of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit is working powerfully through an individual and a corporate body, bringing those people together to do great things for God. Despite all of our... Isn't it interesting the diverse backgrounds we get in the body of Christ? The way people come to the table, so to speak, the banqueting table. You know, if we were to sit here and tell everybody's stories, a lot of us would be like, "Whoa, really, you? Wow." But we'd all be sitting at the table. And that's a testament and a testimony of the faithfulness of God. But the point is then, faith is able to say, "He is strong. So I don't have to be. I don't have to be that guy. I don't have to be that girl. But I can be the one who actually glories in my weaknesses. I could be one that says, yes, I am weak. I can do very little, minimal things, but He is strong. And His strength then is made perfect when I'm weak, knowing that I can do nothing of myself." The third thing, then, in regards to fear and weakness, so faith never says hesitate and stop. Faith says go for it. Faith says if there's anything in our life that we're hesitating upon because of fear, or the fact that we say, I don't think I could do that. You know, other people are more like that, but I'm not. And if we ever think or stop from doing something that God is leading us to do because we're looking at it in regards to how big it is or difficult it is in regards to our own abilities, then we're looking at it all wrong. Faith says, go and conquer. Faith says, go share your faith with that person in the next cubicle. Faith says, go invite somebody to church. Faith says, go out on the mission field if that's what God calls you to do. Go out. Jesus' command, to his great commandment to the disciples, he said, go in all the world, into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why? Because I am with you always. Do you know that makes all the difference? Do you know I'm more afraid than not afraid? If we were to do an equation, I'd say more times I'm afraid and more times I feel inadequate than I do not afraid and adequate. And I have to always go back to this. I say, it's not me. You know, every time I walk up here, I say, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. His grace is sufficient for me. This is scary. And I always have to remind myself of that. And I have to keep moving forward because my weakness, my inadequacies, and my fears would pretty much keep me in my bedroom the rest of my life, not wanting to do anything. But it's my faith that says, you know, you can do this because I'm going to do it for you and through you. The fourth thing is that faith says there's no fear in love. So the fourth thing is then to understand that when I'm feeling afraid, that's not the Lord. Because there's no fear in love. And my problem when I'm afraid, my problem is I'm not understanding God's nature correctly. And what I do when I'm afraid, I think something bad's going to happen, or I'm going to experience something that I can't handle, or I'm going to experience something that I'm overwhelmed by. And God says, you know, faith says that God loves you and you're his child. So he's not going to just ruin your life and discard you like you don't matter. Faith says he's a loving father and will do always the best in your life. And so I go forward knowing that perfect love casts out all fear. When I come back, when my fears take me away from God and his plan, faith brings me back to God and his plan and says, yes, he loves me. And as in Deuteronomy 1:31, it says, I will even carry you like a father carries his child. You know, that scripture ministers to me a lot. And I remember, even when I can't walk, he will carry me. So we need to overcome fear and weakness, and we do that by faith. The second point is overcoming hardships. This isn't heaven. The Bible says, don't think it's strange when you go through various trials. No one gets out unscathed. No one skates into heaven without blemishes and without hurt and hardship. It's part of life. So notice what he says. So he transitions from these characters and how their faith overcame weakness and fear. But notice what he says now, how our faith is how we overcome hardships. So he goes on, he says, now others, if that's not enough for you, others were tortured. I like this, not accepting deliverance. Isn't that interesting? You ever read like Fox's Book of Martyrs? Has anybody ever read that book? Can I see a show of hands? There's one right there. Very precocious reader. Fox's Book of Martyrs is just, it gives little snippets of Christians who are martyred for their faith. And I read that and I think, man, what would I do in that situation? It would be so easy just to deny Christ. But it seems like, and here's what I've found interesting. I've never had to do that, but in my trials of faith, I always find that God gives you a measure of faith for whatever you're going through. So, like, I look at, you know, persecuted Christians across the world, and I think, man, how can they do that? There's Christians getting burned, you know, beheaded, slaughtered, whatever, and they're not denying their faith. How do they do that? And I believe God gives them the measure of faith that I don't have right now. And if I were in that position, He would give me that measure of faith. And so God gives you the measure of faith. And that's what you would need to go through such an extreme example. But see what he's saying here. It's faith that even got the martyrs of the church, which has been throughout the history of the world, starting with, of course, Jesus, but that then it goes back to the prophets, and then it goes back to Cain and Abel. That's been a history of mankind, is a killing of God's people. And so it's by faith that they went through that. But I want you to notice as we read this list, watch what happens. He said, others, still others, they had trial of mocking, scourgings, chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. That wouldn't be a good way to go. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. It says these people, the world wasn't even worthy of them. These people of faith. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens, in caves of the earth. And so we have something very interesting here. As we read the Bible, we're reading this list, and this list is telling us what faith looks like. Did you know overcoming a lot of times doesn't feel like overcoming? Like, do you ever feel like you're just getting hammered, beat up? And it's like, wow, this is what overcoming feels like? Winning as a Christian doesn't always feel like winning. Do you know why? It's because our idea or our mentality or our model of success is all wrong. What does it mean to be successful as a Christian? It doesn't mean the absence of all these things. Do you think the Apostle Paul was on a lot of who's lists of successful entrepreneurs? See, our idea of success is really tainted by our society, especially Western culture. Success as a Christian is this, and this will help you tremendously, is to understand this. Being successful in God's eyes means continuing in faith no matter what. That's what's successful to God. If you want to be a successful Christian, if you want to be successful in the eyes of heaven, if you want to be successful in eternity, this is how. You just keep going by faith. And you'll notice then the world's idea of success is completely different than what God's idea of success is. Now, what happens when the world's idea of success filters into the model of church, and now a church is run by the world's model for success, and then that's what is deemed successful? A successful Christian is one who's maybe an unbiblical and one who's centered more on worldly success than success in heaven. You know, you go through the book of Revelation, and it talks about the seven churches. When it talks about the seven churches, there's two there's nothing bad said about. And those were churches that in our culture, in our environment, we would look at that as not even a church. They were poor, they were persecuted, they were afflicted, they didn't have gobs of money and gobs of people. And the Bible tells us, well, that they were true to their faith and they kept on in the faith. But do you see how important that is? Do you see how important our thinking is about what real success is? Because if that model's wrong, you know what happens? We go after the wrong model. And then what we do is we start to sabotage ourselves. And then we feel disappointed in ourselves, which we're going to talk about in a second. when in reality, God's not disappointed. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. So how about this? How about a paradigm shift? Excuse me if I'm belittling this point, but how about if we have, doesn't matter what the world's going to say, for me, success is faith. How about that? How about we say, we live by faith, walk by faith, in the storms, as bad as it seems, as bad as it looks, as hard as it is, as difficult as, if we will just walk by faith, then it's up to God to do whatever He wants to do with that. If He wants to do this list, praise God. If He wants to do a different list, praise God. But to understand our role is just to walk by faith, that will solve a lot of problems in our life. One of the greatest ways that we can be hurt in our walks with God is to be successful at something that really doesn't matter. And to be successful at something, and that becomes an idol in our life that we live for, and yet we're not walking by faith. So if we walk by faith, then we could leave the results to God. Then whatever He wants to do is fine. But you do notice, right? Have you ever noticed that walking by faith, Satan throws all kinds of stuff in your path, some tempting for good or success or worldly success, other things, hardship to stop following the Lord. But if we just continue on in faith, it stays the same. So we stay on the steady track, and all things could be going haywire, but everything's the same in our life. What's the issue that we face is not important. Faith is what's important. So, a couple applications, and then we'll hit our last point really quick. So, if we're going to overcome hardship, number one, faith says there's a greater plan than we can see. Hardships will have a tendency to get us to look right at the issue. Faith says there's a much bigger issue than we ever know or could imagine. So faith says to have a bigger perspective, a broader perspective. Basically, our perspective has to be focused on Christ. The second thing is that faith says this world is not our home. And because of that, attacks will come, but God is bigger. The third thing is faith says that God will provide all that we need in every situation. We never have to worry or be afraid that we can't deal with something because God will always provide all that we need. His grace is sufficient. The fourth thing is faith says it's not about our circumstance, it's about our faith. The fifth thing is faith says we need to have the right definition of success. Our last point, verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony, how? Through faith. Now just think about that for 1 second. What do you want people to say about you? What do you want your life to mean? What significance do you want to have in this world? Here's a promise. If you and I will live by faith, not perfect faith, not perfect people, but with hearts willing to say, I'm going to live by faith, there will be something left. We have a promise here. This is important to me personally, that I know if I will do this, I know that my life will mean something. I know if I will do this, I may not realize the ramifications of it all, but I can take this promise to the bank and know that my life is going to be effective. That's important to me, and I hope it is to you too. I know that if I live by faith, my life is not going to be random. It's not going to be for no purpose. It's not going to be forgotten, but it's going to go on in eternity. And it's going to have an effect on those around me, whether I see it or not. My faith will make a difference. They all had this faith and had a good testimony. But notice this, they didn't receive the promise. God having provided something better for us. What's that being spoken of there? He's talking about the promise of the completed work of Christ. We can thank God for using all these patriarchs of faith to all bring forth the Messiah, His death and His resurrection. And here we are as benefactors of what they did, of their exploits of faith. And it shows me how blessed we are to be able to know and see and understand and experience the finished work of Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And we know now what all of that led to. We know where everything's leading to. The Bible tells us, and now we are the recipients. And it's almost like they all did it for God's plan, and they all did it. And I believe they're in heaven being so happy for us that we get to experience that. Let me read that again. They said, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. Then the last point is, by faith we overcome disappointment. Disappointment is that punch in the stomach. Has anybody ever been punched in the stomach before? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody had the wind knocked out of them before? Yeah, you know the feeling then. That's a terrible feeling. And you don't know where that next breath's going to come from. You just hope it kicks in any second. Disappointment is like that. Disappointment is when we have things that we appoint for ourselves and they don't happen. Disappointment is when things don't turn out the way that we hoped or wanted to. Disappointment is when we were growing up, we saw our life one way and we sit and our life is not like that. Disappointment is that call, that knock on the door, that news, that disappointment, that failure, that something didn't happen that we wanted to have. These guys, they face great disappointment. Great disappointment. And we do too. Faith is how we get through disappointment, because for people who really care, I believe disappointment is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. Disappointment for people who really care is one of those tools where the devil sails with the wind, right? So for people who really care, he makes us feel disappointed. We get discouraged because things didn't happen the way we want. These guys then, they attacked their disappointment by faith. And they lived through and by faith, and they were able then to see their disappointment in perspective of God's plan. And so God's greatest disappointments and the disappointments that we face are really not God withholding or taking something away. They're His appointment to His plan. And see, that's where things get tough, right? Because we're wrestling with what we want and with what God wants. And when we get disappointed, it's us not getting what we want, but it's also God doing something that is much greater. And so the last couple points, applications of disappointment. If we're disappointed, faith tells us there's something better. We have to believe that. The second thing is faith says to glory in the completed work of Jesus Christ. That should be enough for us. You know how sometimes it's just become very ungrateful people. Faith says, get back to the reality and the totality of the enormity of what God has done for you. Faith says, the cross has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And everything for the person who walks by faith, the way it is in their life, is the way it's supposed to be. That's a blessing that we can take. I'm walking by faith. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. And you know what happens when we think it's not the way it's supposed to be? Then we scurry around like little ants trying to make it like we think it's supposed to be. Faith rests and says, you know, I'm just walking by faith, and that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And we stop fighting that. You know, that urge, I don't want it to be like this. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to dig in. It's not going to happen. And faith says, your will be done. And where there's acceptance, there's great peace. The third thing is, faith says then, don't fight what's going on in your life. Embrace it. Accept it. Receive it. And settle in. And just say, know the difference between God's problem and our problem. Are you able to do that? I'd say this a lot when I'm preaching to myself. It's not my problem, God. That's your problem. Your problem, God. You deal with it. And I'm sweeping all my garbage over to God because He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care about you. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm like just unloading. And so I don't have a lot of problems. They're all God's problems. The fourth thing then is to say, faith says there's a much bigger thing going on. Faith says, look up, look to Jesus, rest and trust in Him. And the last thing, faith says, be content right where you are. You know Philippians 4:13, does anybody know that verse? What does that say? Wait, I heard a bunch of stuff. Yes, sir. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what that's talking about? The context is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, meaning in any situation I can be content. Doesn't mean I'm going to be the next whoever. I was going to say Tony Romo, but faith says I can be content in any situation. Faith does that. And so then, as we finish this chapter on faith, I hope we'll really be different. It is by grace you are saved through faith. We're saved by, we go from being condemned to hell to having eternal life in Christ by faith. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But it doesn't stop there. Now it begins a life of faith. It doesn't end there. Now we are resurrected in the newness of life, and now we walk by faith. And so hopefully we've learned that through this chapter, and we can embrace life because we have the one tool that overcomes anything. And it's what? Amen. We got it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Man, so good. We'd be so messed up without knowing the truth and learning how to do all these things. And Lord, I just want to now just sort of gather our body just together in you now. We read that scripture, how we're one in Christ. I just want to gather us all together at your banqueting table and just, we're all here. We all got here somehow, Lord. And we're all so thankful that we're here with you, that we're forgiven, that our sins are no more, that we have overcome by our faith. We've overcome the world, all these very difficult things. Lord, we have the answer for life. We know how to live life now. It's very simple, and your promises just keep residing and resounding and speaking and ministering to us, Lord. And so I just want to pray that today we would be able to just take just another step of faith, Lord, and just take that step of faith and say, Lord, we're just offering ourselves to you once again, Lord. Just here we are, no agenda, no plan, no nothing, Lord, but we're just presenting ourselves to you, and we're saying we want to walk by faith. And if you would say that this morning, then I just want to pray for you and just ask that God would strengthen you as you walk by faith. So, Lord, I pray for those who today would say, you know, I want to walk by faith. That's how I want to live my life. And I see it's not about me, and I see how this world sabotages my faith. And as I just present myself to you now, Lord, I just say, your will be done, and I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to give my all and do all my all for your will and your kingdom, whatever that is, Lord. If anybody else is here and they would say, you know, I don't really even know if I would go to heaven, and I'm not even sure if my sins are forgiven. And if I were to die today, I don't even know if I would spend eternity in heaven or not. You want to change that? You can do that right now. I'd like to just give you that opportunity to change your eternal destiny. Because the Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're hopeless in our own. There's nothing we can do to work away our sin. So the Bible says that the wages or the penalty of sin is death, separation from God. But at the same time, God did what we couldn't do, proving his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's our part? He did the work. How do we access it? We spoke about it earlier. It's by faith. So this morning, if you would say, I want to go to heaven, I want my sins forgiven, and you'd say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he's eternally God that's come into this world. I believe he rose again from the dead. And now I'm going to trust in him and what he did to secure my salvation. You can do that right here, right now. I'll lead you in a simple prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, but it's your heart asking God to forgive you. But pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. I believe you're eternally God. Come into the world as a sacrifice for me. I receive your work now. I turn from the way I'm living my life, the direction I'm going, and I turn to you now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. If anybody would like prayer about anything, there's going to be somebody to pray with you right in the back, my right corner, your left corner. If you need prayer about anything, guys, if you just ask Jesus into your heart, go back there and pray. If you need prayer about healing, relationships, family, job, whatever, we're here to pray for you, minister to you. So just go, as we start this last song, go back, and those people would love to pray for you. For the rest of us, let's just sing to the Lord like there's no tomorrow. So we're not really sure if there will be. So God bless you guys.
salvation I sing. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome worship today and an awesome word. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Wednesday night for a special worship night. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.